Darkness, you illuminate our darkness. You let us know things we need to know to win. And Lord, we want to come closer to you tonight. So our life will not be just this endless stream of, oh, I lost there and I lost there. No, but we'll begin to win every single time. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in what God tells us to do in our emergency situations. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise tonight, Lord. And we're listening to hear. Tonight's message is called Winning from Within. And we've been on this series for 12 weeks now. The ushers are in the aisle. If you would like to follow along with the Bible tonight, we have Samoan, an English version. If you can hand that in at the end of the program tonight, we would appreciate it. We've got this six-pack of verses that we've been using, and it's very popular verses, but a lot of times we don't quite see what it means. But when we put it all together, we see clearly. There's been miracles going on from the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, and we see them, but we need to understand exactly how did the process happen to where Moses is backed up to the Red Sea. It's the end of their lives, all 3 million of them. What was the victory process where he got an answer, held his rod out over the water, and the water parted? Are you interested? I mean, if Moses was here, I'd say, how did you do that? How did that happen? Well, the Lord shows us from his word. Moses prayed. And God answered him. God answered him on the inside of his spirit. He was the only one that received the answer, the victory plan. And he was at a level spiritually that when God told him how to win, he could hear it. And in addition, when the sower sowed the word, his heart was good ground for the good seed of God's word. And it produced a victory in the physical realm that didn't just save him and his family, it saved the entire nation. So we see this process. That Moses got a born of God answer because his spirit was developed to the place where when God spoke, he heard him. And when he heard him, he believed him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he believed it to the place where he did it. He stepped out, he just stuck his rod out over the water. Some people might say, what in the world is he doing? How did you know to hold your rod out over the water, Moses? Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. God told me on the inside, you're crazy. No, this is the process where these men and women won in the Old Testament. So are you ready to go a little bit further tonight? Well, Ephesians 1:17, we'll quickly go through this. Paul prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Verse 17, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You should be able to know him and hear from him and see things from him. And receive answers to your prayers from him. Notice Paul doesn't pray that God would talk a little bit louder and make himself a little bit more obvious. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would talk louder so we could hear you. And I pray that you would make yourself known at a level that was easier for us to see. No, that's not the prayer. The prayer is for us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How are we going to do that? The eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We've referred to this verse already, 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. I like to say this is the victory process that overcomes the world. Even our faith in what was born of God. Now Moses, when he's there back to the Red Sea, when God said, "Why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water." That was a born of God instruction. That wasn't a born of Moses' mental intellect and training at Hebrew school. That was a born of God instruction. When Joshua circled the city of Jericho and the walls fell into the earth and they walked over on flat land, that victory plan was a born of God victory plan. Joshua didn't think that up. They didn't have a big huddle and say, "How are we going to take the city?" No, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I want you to do this." This is the victory. This is how they won. God told them how to win on the inside. They were able to hear that, see that, and believe that. And when they stepped out and marched around the city, shouted, exactly what God told them would happen on the inside happened. So this is the victory process, whatever is born of God. We need born of God answers today, right? They needed God to show them how to win, how to get the victory, how to get. David needed to know, should I go up after the people that took all of our wives and children? Should I go up after them, or should I just stay here and cry for the rest of my life? And he got a born of God response. The Lord said, go up at once, overtake, recover all. He heard that in his heart, and he acted on it. And he got his wives and children back, everybody did, plus all the spoils that the other armies had received. So there's a process. We're seeing people crying out, people praying, and God answering. And then being able to hear him when he answers. And then what? Faith comes. They do what he said. They do what they saw in their hearts. They do what the angel told them to do. And they win. Get used to winning. But get used to winning this way. This is the way God helps us win. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's nothing blocking earth and heaven anymore. I like what Jesus said to the disciples right in the beginning of the book of John. He said, from now on, you're going to see heaven open and angels going back and forth. You know, sometimes we just skip over verses like that because we don't know what that means. But Jesus said, business as usual. Heaven is open for business. Business transactions between heaven and earth. You're going to see the angels of God coming up and down, going back and forth to me and the Father, to me and the Father. Praise God. We have direct access by one Spirit unto the Lord. Aren't you glad that we have God on the inside of us? And there's no other religion that can boast this or say this. They've got to get to their temple. They've got to get to their idol. They've got to get to a building. The way we're set up right now, I don't even have to leave my house to get answers. I don't even have to ask someone else to get answers. This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will write my laws upon their inward parts, and I will write my sayings on their mind, and they're going to know me from the inside, and they'll be my people, and I'll be their God. And it's not going to be just one or two. They shall all know me from the greatest to the least. So we have direct access to God. We don't even have to go into a church, but it's good that you're in church tonight. But if I need an answer from God, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of my spirit. Romans 8:35 says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can? He's on the inside of me. George, try to pull the Holy Ghost out of me. It's not going to happen. Nobody can access my spirit. Nothing can separate me from him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? Oh, I don't have enough money for my EPC. No. Shall persecution? No. Famine? Oh, I don't have lunch. We have the best translators in the world here. Shall nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. No, 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 no. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquering, that means hyper Nike. We all know about Nike shoes, right? It means like victory shoes. When I wear these shoes, I get the victory. Hyper Nike, to more than conquer, to overwhelmingly and beyond conquer. Did Moses more than conquer the Egyptian army? Oh, yeah, not one sword. Nobody died on our side. Everybody died on their side. That's more than conquering. Did Joshua more than conquer Jericho? Yeah. Nobody died on our side. Everybody died on their side. We took the city. And we just walked across on flat ground. Did David more than conquer those that had stolen his wives and the children at Ziklag? Not only did they get everything that was theirs back, they got everything that was the enemy's back. They were loaded. They were loaded. More than conquering. So Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And we all, yes, yes, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What in the world does that mean? By my spirit, showing you how to win on the inside, you being able to hear that with your spirit. Hear it at a place of what? That was God, I believe that. I'm going to do exactly what I just heard. I'm going to do exactly what I just saw. It's not by our physical strength, and it's not by our own personal might. It's by being spiritually developed enough to hear God tell you how to win. Then believe it, step out on it, and bring what he just said to your heart into the physical realm, harvesting God's way, harvesting victories, harvesting healings, harvesting dreams come true. This is a year that dreams come true. Then 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. If he always causes us to triumph, how come I'm such a loser? Well, like we said, there's a process to winning. This isn't just you automatically win every time and you don't have to do anything. Did Moses have to hold his rod out over the water? What if he didn't hold his rod out over the water? Pop quiz. What if he didn't hold his rod out over the water? Right? What if the sower sowed the word and Moses was rocky ground that day? That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. Hold my rod out over the water. Then the Egyptian army would have come in. And, you know, whatever they say when they attack people and chop them up. What if Joshua decided to alter the plan of Jericho, the battle plan, and just let's just go straight to marching around it 7 times and shouting and blowing the trumpets. Let's just forget the 6 days. Just go to the seventh day plan. They would not have gotten the victory. Thank you, Lord. We have a part to play in taking hold of what we see inside by faith, doing what God says, and bringing it into the physical realm. Because right now it's just words on the inside from God. It's not physical, it's spirit. But his words are spirit and life. When he speaks, remember how he created the world? He spoke and it became physical. His words caused it to manifest physically. Thank you, Lord. I like the GLT. It says, but thanks be to God, he's always leading us in triumph in Christ. Now, that's a better way of looking at it. He led Moses in how to win. He led Joshua in how to win. He led David in how to win. He's led us how to win so many times. Do you know, I was talking to Pastor Kiki earlier tonight, and she said, I'm so thankful for this series. And we're teaching this Friday nights, and then we're also teaching it on Sunday mornings, Pastor Junior. And Pastor Junior and I are just kind of running side by side, very close to what we're talking about. It's very close. And Pastor Kiki said they went up to climb the mountain here, just right up here, going up to Lucky's house. And she saw an older man and a younger boy in front of them. And she heard on the inside, speed up and catch up to those people, catch up to them. And you know, she thought it was herself. See, God's voice is not going to scare the lava off of you. It's, we say the pants in America, scare the pants off, scare the pants off of me. She heard the Holy Spirit say, speed up and catch up to those people. And she thought for a second, was that me? But that she's learning to know her own spirit. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord or the lamp of the Lord. That's where God will talk to you. That's where he'll illuminate you. That's where he'll enlighten you. So she knew it was the Lord. So they started trucking. And they got up and up to the top of the hill. And they had stopped. The old man and the young boy had stopped up towards the Catholic prayer house. And the old man fell down and was having a seizure. And she said that she and Pastor T went over. And, of course, they prayed the prayer of faith. They laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he got up. Praise the Lord. But before all that happened, the Holy Spirit was already saying, something's about to happen. I need you up there. Get up there to that man and the young boy. And she got an assignment. And the victory wasn't for her. The victory was for the man. Woo! Thank you, Lord. But that answer came up and out of her human spirit. We talked last week about how can we draw up answers from our human spirit. How can we get better at it? One way we can draw up an answer is by praying specifically about something in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about speaking in tongues or praying in tongues tonight. Are you guys okay with that? Maybe you've never heard of praying in tongues. Maybe you don't pray in tongues. I know I had never heard of it growing up. I heard of it when I was maybe a 13-year-old girl, and I was shocked by it, and it was strange to me. But just check your heart. There's Bible. There's a lot of Bible evidence for speaking in other tongues. Did you know in the book of Acts there's 5 examples of people being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues? And did you know Jesus said to the disciples, don't go out and start ministering until you receive the power from on high? And the evidence of being clothed with power from on high was this wonderful gift of speaking in other tongues. When we don't know how to pray, when we need an answer, and we don't know what it is. I remember after Brother Dunnick died, I was not quite sure what to do specifically with the ship. We had just miraculously received this 100-foot ship, and the ship was still in America, and I needed wisdom because I had a lot of counsel from the outside to sell the ship, give up on the ship. It's a waste of money. It's too much money. It's too much effort. You don't know what you're doing. So I was getting a lot of feedback, a lot of static from the outside. Don't do that. But on the inside, I know there's an answer. Proverbs says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, all my life, and we've been quoting that scripture a lot, and for years and years. We've been here 28 years now. And every time I've thought about this particular verse, I've thought of a little tiny well, maybe with some rocks around it, and then a little place to tie the rope off, and I send down the bucket down into the little tiny well. But the Lord corrected me today. He said, my counsel is not a little well out in the backyard. It is like a vast ocean that never ends. It is like the universe. My counsel, the ocean that we're talking about, the deep water that we're talking about, even in the word, I heard his voice like the sound of many waters. And even in Ephesians chapter 3 prayer, the height, the depth, the breadth, the length. There's no measuring the amount of counsel, the answers that are available, not just for me as an individual, but for every human being on the planet. The wisdom of God, the answers from God, the victory instructions from God. It's not that little well in the backyard where you send your bucket down and clunk. But I've been illustrating it that way for years. But the Lord said, it is an ocean that has no bottom. It has no sides. It is like a deep, vast ocean. Good thing we live on an island and we know what a big ocean looks like, right? Thank you, Lord. We may not know what the answer is, but we've got an ocean of answers that we can draw from. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters. And a man who understands how spiritual transactions work will draw it up and out of his spirit by the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a way that we can cast out into the water. It's almost like fishing. You cast out, that's, Lord, what should I do? Clink. And your prayer lands in the water. And as soon as your prayer lands in the water, the answer bites onto that. And now what do we got to do? We got to draw it up. We got to draw it up. We got to draw it up. Speaking in tongues will draw the answers up from God's spirit to your spirit so that we do understand it. When we pray in other tongues, now for me, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 19. I began to speak in other tongues, but I never really understood. I just felt like tongues is this mindless exercise that I do, blah, 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 blah. And you can never and should never really know what you're praying about. It's just supposed to stay this big mystery. But when I went to Rhema, Brother Hagin said all of the direction, major direction for his life, what to do next, answers to questions, what about the kids, where should we move, how do I handle this? All of his answers came up and out of his human spirit after praying in other tongues. So tongues isn't this function that we'll never understand what we're praying about. No, it's so that we will understand, so that we can draw things up. The end results of you praying in other tongues is for the secret to be revealed, the answer to be something you understand and that you see the mystery not to be a mystery anymore. 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. I was praying in tongues one day and the Lord said to me, you know, praying in tongues isn't so you just stay stupid and not know. It's not something that you just do and it never produces anything in your life. Here's a verse on praying in other tongues. It says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. The Weis translation says, I'm just going to read the latter part for the sake of time. No one understands him, what he is saying, and he utters with his human spirit as energized by the Holy Spirit, divine revelations not explained. The BBE says he who makes use of tongues is not talking to men. Other men aren't going to understand it. But to God, because no one has the sense of what he is saying. But in the spirit, he is talking of secret things. Young's literal translation says, for he who is speaking in an unknown tongue to men, he doth not speak, not talking to you, but to God. For no one doth hearken, in the spirit he doth speak secrets, the Weymouths, yet in the spirit he is speaking secret truths. TCNT, yet in his spirit he is speaking of hidden truths. Phillips, and only in his spirit is he speaking spiritual secrets. You are speaking mysteries, praying out the mysteries. I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do. But this is the process of eventually knowing and seeing what to do. It doesn't remain a mystery anymore. My spirit sees the answer. I pray in the Holy Spirit when I don't know so that I will know. Does that make sense? Thank you, Lord. From 1 Corinthians 2:9, just briefly, these are verses we've been going over for the last 12 weeks. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of the man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. See, you'll never know anything. You just stay stupid your whole life. Never hear God talk. Oh, wait, the next verse says something. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. Deep water. New Living brings it out a little bit more, but we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, and his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. Oh, well, when we're praying in other tongues, we're praying out secrets. Did you notice that word? Divine secrets, divine mysteries. We know if we put these verses together that God reveals secrets to us by his Spirit. If we need an answer, he is not a God that will keep us from an answer that will help us or save us. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If I need an answer from God, it's free. Do you know some people aren't that way at all? Sometimes I go to the beach and they see me, I say, that'll be 50 tala. But with God, when you ask him a question, he doesn't say, that'll be 50 chala. All the answers are free, and the answers are unlimited. And he will tell you things that you don't know. You can pray out mysteries when you're praying in tongues. So what? That they're not mysteries anymore. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. One more scripture. I like scripture because if we don't have scripture, then what we're talking about is not scriptural. So we want to teach what's in the word. We want to rightly divide it. Mark 4 and 21. Now I want to add this to our list of, do you know how Romans chapter 8 verse 14, 16, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. His Spirit is constantly bearing witness with our spirit that we are his children. I thought, well, that's the quintessential. That is the greatest chapter on being led by the Holy Spirit. And then we found 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I thought, wow, that's even better. But Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word, and there's four different kinds of people that when God talks to their spirits, some of them are rocky, some of them are hard as the ground, like cement, bounces off, and some are weedy or thorny, and they're just so many other thoughts in their mind. It's like God never even talked to him. But he did. He sowed the seed. But the condition of their heart is at a place where they can't hear it properly. So they're not going to be able to harvest it properly. This whole chapter is about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's one of the first parables that Jesus told. He said, if you don't get this, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom of God. This is how we win. This is how God helps us. Mark 4, 21, we're going to skip forward to the story where he talks about the candle. Remember, we're talking about mysteries. We're talking about secrets. We're talking about things that we don't know, but we need to know. We need an answer. I needed to know, what do I do with the ship? So what did I do? Well, there was a period in my life after Brother Dunnick passed, that there was so much pressure to run this, to turn this, to get it moving forward, even though it was doing great. But just the transition with him not being here, what do we do with the ship? What do we do with the school? What do we do with what Brother Dunnick told us, you know, that the Lord told him to do? And with this great ship, I would get up at 5 in the morning and I would walk in the dark back and forth up and down my driveway, and I didn't even know how to pray in English, so I prayed in tongues the whole time, day after day, day after day, day after day, specifically focusing on, what do I do with the ship? Help me, Lord. I don't know how to do this. I'm just a girl. Kelly was the guy. I don't know how to do this. Lead me the way you led him. And then finally, when it came to it, and I prayed about the ship, I prayed about the school, I prayed about this church that we're sitting in right now. And finally, when it came to, the Lord gave me specific instructions. The whole world was telling me, sell the ship, get rid of the ship. Don't buy, bring the ship here. I heard in my spirit, get the ship here. Get the ship to Samoa. Whew. Now I can take a step of faith. And we did, and that's a whole nother story. But that was a secret to me. I didn't know that. That was a mystery to me. I did not know what to do with the ship. But God revealed to me what to do with the ship. Mark 4:21, he said, is a candle brought? Remember, the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord. Remember, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water? And it's there. You just have to draw it up. Is a candle brought to be hidden or put under a bushel or under a bed? What's the answer? No. God didn't come so that you would stay in the dark. So is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Of course not. Or under a bed? No. And not to be set on a candlestick? Yes, to be set on a candlestick. For there is, listen to this, there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Now, many of you were taught that this is talking about your sins and that someday you're going to be embarrassed in front of everyone that's ever lived and God is going to say, this is all the bad stuff you did in front of everybody in the whole universe, all the way back to Adam and whoever the last person is to go to heaven. That's how this verse was explained to me. But if we look at it in the light of 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, God's Spirit reveals secrets. He doesn't keep secrets. Listen to what it says. There is nothing hidden. There's nothing that you don't know which should not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Amplified brings this out perfectly. I hope it makes more sense to you now. But God's not going to keep secrets from you. If you don't know what to do, you can ask him. And you can focus your prayer on the answer that you're needing. And you can pray in the Holy Spirit about it. And God will reveal the answer to you. Freely given answers. What are you praying out when you pray in the Spirit, when I'm speaking in another tongue? Secrets. Mysteries. But they're not supposed to be mysteries forever or secrets forever. The Amplified says, is a lamp brought in to be put under a peck measure or under a bed and not to be put on a lampstand? Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it might be made known. There's been times in my life where I didn't know what to do, but it was a temporary situation. After I accessed the counsel of God, he revealed to me what to do. If any man has ears to hear, no secrets are kept except in order that it may be made known. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. So I want to give you just a quick illustration about how speaking in other tongues can really help you draw up answers from your spirit. The same way Moses got his victory answer thousands of years ago, you can get your victory answers today. Anybody ever go fishing here? Cast a rod? My dad, he's a great fisherman from the great country of the United States of America. You know how to cast the rod? How do you say that in Samoan? Konile ofi? Ofe? Ofe? With a E? Konile ofe. Do we have that fishing rod? Where's the fishing rod? Oh, didn't even know it was there, did you? I'm not going to cast this for real at you. But I need an answer from God. I understand that it's my responsibility to draw it up. The same way you would draw a fish up out of the water, you need to draw up your answers out from this great, deep, vast pool or ocean of the wisdom of God. So what do? I cast out, help me with my Samoan, konile ofe, tale, tale. Tale. Thank you, Pastor Junior. I'm going to cast the rod out. And that's me saying, God, I don't know what to do. I'm fishing for an answer. Why? Because I need an answer. Right? Now, if you believe God, you will fish in his ocean. If you don't believe God, you won't even cast. So even just asking God, help me, That's faith. You believe that he is, and you believe that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you cast it out. Still going. The moment it hits the water, God grabs onto it with the answer. Would you like to go fishing if every time you cast, you know, fishing, you can sit there for hours and not get a bite? My dad would take us to the pier in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and all he did was put minnows on the hooks. He never got to fish himself. He would tie my brothers with a rope to the dock so they wouldn't fall in. Didn't some Irish guy come and say, "You're the smartest man I've ever seen here"? And we would catch fish. My dad wouldn't catch fish, but he would eat all the ones we caught. But you know about fishing, it's not guaranteed that every time you cast that you're going to get something. You're going to get a fish. But with God, the answers are freely given. And every time you cast into the ocean of the wisdom of God, he grabs onto your prayer and answers it. Now, what do you got to do? Billy my, Billy my, Billy my, Billy my, Billy my, Billy my. Is that right, Samoan? Oh, so much pressure. Billy my ofe. Le ofe? Yes. We have a Samoan excellent speaker. She's helping me. Vili mai leofi. 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 And that's exactly what praying in other tongues does. Lord, I don't know what to do. Can you give me the answer? Gromaso rebre ki malale vre ki marade. Amasombre veve ki ranamai lolo. I don't know what I'm praying yet, but I am reeling it in. I am drawing it up out of my spirit from God's spirit. He even helps us get the answers on the test. It's not really a test. But vili mai leofi, you're reeling in the fish. You're reeling in the answer. And like I said, as soon as you pray, as soon as that hook hits the water, God grabs onto it and the answer's on there. Now you got to bring it in. Now, when you guys fish and you know you've got a fish on there and it's pulling and you feel the weight of it, do you guys, are you like, no, that's how you look when you don't got anything on the line, right? But when you got something on the line, where does your focus go? You're looking right at where the string comes out of the water, right? Ileia. You focus on the fish. Did I do that one right? Ileia. So Billy might, and you push. You got a hit, you got the answer, you know it's there. Now you're just drawing it up by praying in the Holy Spirit, speaking mysteries. They're a mystery now. I can't see the fish now, but I know it's on there. So my focus is ile ia. Is that right? Ia. As soon as I got a fish on the line. Do you guys look at the ocean? For where the fish is going to come up and out, right? Do you do that when you fish? Or are you just, yeah, I got a fish. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how big it is. I don't really care what kind it is. I'm just going to... No, you focus on where the answer is going to come up and out of the water. Now, when we pray in other tongues, again, it's not a mindless thing. Now, what's my other line? Where's Fetz? You see the fish. Va'ai. Va'ai le'ia. You see the fish come out. You see the answer come out. It's not a mystery what the fish is anymore. But while it's still in the deep, and you're drawing it up, 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 it's still kind of a secret fish, right? It's a mysterious fish. But you know what's on there. So vili mai, praying in other tongues, praying in other tongues, praying in other tongues. But it's getting closer and closer and closer and closer till you see it. It breaks out of the water, woo, and there's your answer. Praying in the Holy Spirit is exactly the thing that you need to do for your spirit to be able to draw things up from the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So you get a fish on the line. We talked about our mind is to focus on our spirit. Our mind should be looking for the answer from our spirit. When you draw it up out of the water, you finally see it. Thank you, Lord. Tongues is the process to spiritual illumination that progressively rises or reveals revelation to your understanding, to your spirit, and then your mind knows too. Your mind is like the last one to know, but your mind understands when your spirit draws it up. So when we pray in other tongues, I used to just do it mindless. And we let you know, there is a tongue where you don't really have to pay attention. You're just building yourself up. You're just building yourself up. You're just filling yourself up. You're just sharpening your spirit. Praise the Lord. But there are times when you don't know and you pray specifically, I need this answer. In that case, your mind needs to focus on your spirit because that's where the answer is going to come up out of, and then you'll see it. But many believe tongues is this mindless exercise that produces nothing. No, it produces victory instructions. It produces light, revelation. It produces what you need to live by. Thank you, Lord. Can you take a little bit more? So let me say this to you again. Tongues is a process to spiritual illumination. God's going to light you up on the inside. It helps you reel it in. It's a mystery or a secret now, but once you reel it in, vili mai, you can see it. And it's not a mystery anymore. It's not a secret. There's nothing that's a secret that won't be revealed. There's nothing hidden that won't be come to the light. Thank you, Lord. I may not know what I'm praying to begin with. I know my question. I may not know my answer. But the end result of praying in other tongues is clear revelation, knowing what to do from God. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. Our faith in what we draw up from God's spirit. If we focus only on the material realm, on the physical realm, we'll only see the physical. But if we focus on the spirit, we'll be able to see things coming up and out of our spirit. God wants you to start looking inside way more than you have been to get your answers. A lot of people are fishing in the ocean, the physical world, walking by sight. They're fishing in an ocean where there are no fish. You're not going to catch anything in that ocean. There aren't any fish. There aren't any answers. And a lot of people like that, these are the people that say, well, God never talks to me. God never tells me how to win. I never hear his voice. I never get an answer to prayer. He's never there for me. You're fishing in the wrong ocean. You're looking outside. The ocean to fish in is on the inside. Really, my inside. Remember the fussy popo? The just shall live by faith. Now, we use that very generally, but specifically, Christians will live this way by asking God for answers on the inside, receiving them on the inside, doing what they heard or saw, and then harvesting what he said on the inside in the physical realm. You know, I was talking about getting the ship here. The ship cost a couple $100,000 just to get here, U.S., and nobody wanted to pay for that. But I had a small insurance plan from when Brother Dunnick died, and I heard that in my heart. I drew up counsel from the Lord, get the ship here. Get the ship to Samoa. And I know that's him. And everyone else is saying, don't do that, don't do that. I've got information coming from the outside saying, don't you dare do that. I've got information coming from the inside saying, get the ship here. So what are you going to look at? I'm going to look inside at what God is telling me to do. And so the funds dried up for the ship. And I said, I'm going to spend every penny that I have, even this life insurance policy, and I'm going to pay to get the ship here. Did you know nobody got saved? Nobody got healed? No messages were preached? We moved the ship from Florida to Samoa, and it cost that much. The Lord said, keep moving forward. Get the ship here. I signed a contract to get the ship here. At that point, it was $130,000 US, but that didn't include flying people over to places, bringing the ship from Tahiti to here, taxes, insurance, things like that, food. We always need the food, right? Because Pastor Arthur was on the ship, and he was going to need a lot of food. And I signed it, and it was pretty much everything that I had. 15 minutes after I signed it, the person that didn't support the ship coming here said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I said, what? Can't you take it anymore? He goes, I'll pay for everything. I'm going to pay to get the ship here. I'm going to pay for everything, all the flights, all the food, all the arrangements. I'm going to pay for everything. Yes. What if I didn't believe get the ship here? It was a miraculous turn. It was miraculous provision. Thank you for the answers, Lord. The just shall live this way, by believing what they hear on the inside. Believing the written word. This is our ticket. Everybody know the story of the ticket? By believing the general promises in the written word. This is our foundation. The Holy Spirit will never tell us to do something that doesn't agree with what's written in here. The general promises, the general plan. But there's also the specific instructions, the answers that we need to know for our life, for today, for what should I do with the ship. That's not written in here. I need to draw that up from my spirit. The just shall live this way, by getting the answers from the inside. Thank you, Lord. One time I had a back injury, about 6 years ago. Pastor James and I will be married 6 years tomorrow. Yay! And about 2 weeks after we were married, I blew my back out lifting a piece of furniture, blew out a disc. And then for the next couple years, I really struggled with pain. And it's a longer story than this, but I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what? You always heal me. I always seem to be able to receive my healing. And then I said, remember the tumor disappeared off my wrist miraculously. Remember so many times I've been sick, sore throat, and then it's gone in 5 minutes when I pray the prayer of faith, lay hands on myself even, release the power of God into my body from my spirit. You always heal me. What's going on? What should I do? Feel my. I don't know why I'm going up and down. And from up and out of my human spirit, the Lord said, get some help. Go to the doctor. And I said,
to the doctor. I want a miraculous miracle, like when the tumor disappeared, when I was laying in bed with a sore throat and it just instantly disappeared in 2 minutes. I don't want to go to the doctor. I want the miracle. Go to the doctor. Get some help. I said, okay. Man, I don't want to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and I got the operation, and now I'm jumping around and running around and doing all kinds of stuff. He led me that way this time to be healed. Thank you, Lord. The people who know their God this way, who look inside to draw up the answers, they will be strong and they will win and they will get harvests on earth. They will do great exploits. They will get answers that lead to physical manifestations. Hold on to what you're drawing up on the inside. As we close tonight, I want to just give you a little example of Abraham. Something came up in my heart while Pastor Junior was preaching on Sunday, and he was talking about how Abraham believed God. He believed that he was a father of many nations. 1 Timothy 6:12 from the King James says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on this eternal life." I put lifestyle. "Whereunto you are called and has professed a good profession." Remember, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? We walk by what we're seeing from God on the inside, not by what we're receiving from the world on the outside. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. God showing me how to win from the inside. We walk by that. That's faith in what God said. We walk by faith, not sight. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Thank you, Lord. So we fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on things. Now, I want to read this in three different translations. They're pretty difficult, English-wise, but I'm hoping some of you catch it. I always go to the Young Literal Translation because this first King James Version, it says, lay hold on this eternal life. So that's believing that, okay, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven someday. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Okay, I'm going to heaven, and I'm fighting the good fight that someday I'll go to heaven. Yes. Yes. But listen to the way the Young's Literal Translation says, be striving the good strife of faith, be laying hold of the life, age, during. What in the world does that mean? To which also you were called, and did profess the right profession before many witnesses. The extended version, contest you, thou, the good contest of faith. Do thou lay hold of the age lasting life for which thou wast called out. And thou did confess the good confession in presence of many witnesses. Weymouth, exert all your strength in the honorable struggle for the faith. Lay hold of the life of ages to which you were called when you made your noble profession of faith before many witnesses. Now this verse, yes, it talks about fighting the good fight of faith. We're all going to heaven. But it talks about lay hold of the life age during. That's the original Greek. The expanded, lay hold of the age-lasting life. Weymouth, lay hold of the life of ages to which you were called. The Lord said, this is not just fighting to go to heaven. This fight, this age-during fight, this age lasting fight. It is not just a one-time fight to get into heaven. It is a complete change
in the way you're operating spiritually on earth. It's for you to get up to a certain level of functioning spiritually on earth and actually start winning your battles, start winning over things. Basically, it's the way you received Jesus as Lord by faith and got into heaven. This is now to become an eternal life style. This is the way you'll function spiritually forever. The just shall live by hearing God, showing them things in their heart. This is an age-during lifestyle. I'm never going to stop operating in faith. He's never going to stop showing me things here on earth. He's always going to be sowing the word. He's always going to be talking to me. He's always going to be giving me answers. This is how I got to eternal life. This is how I got into heaven. It, of course, includes and means that. But these other translations, I can't ignore the way the wording is, especially the last one. Hold on to this life of ages. It's calling us to operate at a level spiritually that we will eternally operate at this level spiritually. It's not just a one-time act to get into heaven. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life style, where God will show you how to win. And you're spiritually developed enough to hear him and know that's him and step out on him. We will operate this way forever. Eternal life style. The life of the ages, which we are called to this. We are called to this. So the just shall live this way. We walk this way, not by sight. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. We see things on the inside, and then it happens on the outside. Abraham. Now, I need some volunteers to be Abraham and Sarah. Anybody want to be Abraham and Sarah? Quickly now, quickly. You can be Abraham, but I need a Sarah. Where's your wife? How about Mom and Dad Moran? They look like Abraham and Sarah. Because I need it to be accurate. Thank you, Lord. You can be the spirit man, George. As Mom and Dad are coming, I'm going to read to you from Romans 4:17. This is a pattern of winning. This is a spiritual law. This is an eternal pattern of how people win with God. Hi, Mom and Dad. This is my mom and dad, John and Elisa Moran. Mom, how old are you?
88 and three quarters.
Dad, how old are you?
85 and one quarter.
So would you guys say that they're about the age, give or take a few decades, they were about the age that Abraham and Sarah were when God promised them that they were going to have a baby? Okay, I just want to make sure you're getting this illustration. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Did God give them a victory instruction? On the inside, did they believe that? Yes. And being not weak in faith, what do you mean weak in faith? Being not weak in what God told them would happen, he considered not his own body now dead, even when he was about 100 years old, or 85 and one quarter, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sorry, Mom. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Now, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, right? This is a baby. How do you say baby in Samoan? Bebe. This is going to be Abraham's spirit. So just come a little bit closer. That's far enough right there. I'm going to be Abraham's mind. Abraham was promised by God that there was going to be a child that would manifest physically in the future. And Abraham believed that. But from the outside information that we're getting, if I look this way, it doesn't seem possible. It does not seem possible. If I focus my mind on what I see physically, it does not look like that's going to happen at all. That's why we have to fight the good faith fight and lay hold on what God has promised us by always focusing and looking at what God promised us on the inside, having the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. I am the father of many nations. Sarah and I are going to have a baby someday. The sower sowed the word, and the baby is here. I see it in my heart. I have it in my heart. I drew it up in my heart. And every day, instead of looking at this, Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise by looking that way. He looked this way, and he kept his focus this way. And because he did, every day he could say, I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. But you know, he saw this too. But this is what he focused on. This is what he said. And because he did this, what was a promise became a physical reality. Congratulations! Thank you. Thank you. That's it. That was the special effects for tonight. Best Abraham and Sarah we have ever had here at All Nations Church. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Lord. Did he get up every day and see what he looked like on the outside? Abraham? Yeah. But he had another source of information, a victory source. And he looked every day at what God promised instead of what he saw in the mirror. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness. He was fully persuaded that what he saw on the inside would become a physical reality, and it happened. Now, I know Mom and Dad aren't up here anymore, and George isn't up here anymore, but what we have to guard against, what we have to guard our hearts against, is what we're seeing come from this side. We have a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit. Why? From what's coming in from the outside, because it tries to deny what we're seeing on the inside. So Abraham, he's got his shield up, he's got his sword, he's looking, and any thought that comes in to try to deny, you're never going to have a shield up, sword. Cast it down. Throw it out. This is the way we're going to live forever. This is the way we're supposed to operate. This is what Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on this lifestyle. We believe what we see on the inside from God. This is the victory that overcomes the world. We can get born of God answers. We have direct access by one Spirit unto the Father. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate me from my answers. They are right on the inside of me. The victory is not by power. It's not by might. It's by His Spirit. And one of the things we looked at tonight is we can draw up our answers by praying in the Holy Spirit. So it's not a mystery anymore. I can see the fish. I can see the answer. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God showing your spirit how to win. Thank God He always causes me to triumph. How? This way. His Spirit revealing things to my spirit. Now thanks be unto God, which always leads us in victory. Get used to winning. And I would encourage you tonight as we stand, go ahead and stand with me. If you do speak in other tongues, begin to be more focused in your prayer life. If you need specific answers, then pray specifically and focus your mind inside so that you can see the answer when it comes up in your heart. I can see the fish. I can see the answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, He's taken us up. He's bringing us up to this level of life. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord. I call your name, and you answer. I say a prayer, and you're right there. You are forever, always for me. You are forever, always here. Now you're taking me to a new level of life on this earth. It's like heaven, and you're bringing me up to the place that you've always had for me. It's like heaven on earth. Sing with me, guys. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth forever. We're singing heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth forever. Never imagined. He wants you to win every time. And that's the bottom line with God. There's never a time that He's wanted you to lose one battle, not get one answer, fail at anything. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? If you're here tonight, if you're watching online, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, thank You for loving me and sending Your Son to die for my sins. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I accept that He died for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I will serve You forever. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. That pure salvation message. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not well. I'm not going to have anyone come up tonight, but I want you to get used to functioning spiritually for yourself. Did you know that the Spirit of God is on the inside of you right now? The power to heal you, it's in there. Did you know I've learned some things just being alone quite a bit? I've been sick before by myself in the bed, and I just say, Lord, please help me. And one night He said, release my spirit from your spirit into your physical body to effect a healing and a cure. I said, what? He said, release my spirit, my power. Release the anointing, whatever you want to call it. It's Him. Release me from your spirit into your physical body and tell it to effect a healing and a cure. I said, how do I do that? He said, by believing and saying it. So if you're not feeling well to any area of your physical body, just lift your hands. It's this simple. Look to the inside. Say, Father, I release Your healing power into my physical body right now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Believe it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If you've got the flu, receive healing. Receive strength. Pain in your neck, receive healing. Receive healing. Pain in your neck, shoulders, receive healing. Receive healing. Thank You, Lord. You're believing God to be healed from diabetes. Keep believing, keep believing, keep believing. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're believing God for a child. Keep believing. The answer is there. The promise has been made. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. I'm going to have the praise and worship team sing our song to conclude right now. I'll give you some announcements. We have what do we have tomorrow? Function with third year? No function tomorrow? They have the day off. Third year has the day off. Praise the Lord. But we do have our movies, 7:30 Saturday and Sunday. Please join us Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and then we have student life and church life Tuesday at about 5:30 p.m. Join us. Stay in the presence of God for just a minute as the praise and worship team ministers to you. If you have to go, you can slip out. But I believe the Lord wants to speak to some of you during this song. Go ahead, Pastor Janie and Pastor Junior.
We are open hearts, every heart overcome by your love and freedom. Here we stand, lifted hands unto the King. Every day, giving thanks, bringing our everything to the one deserving all the praise that our hearts could ever see.
Everlasting One, You are the